Well, I have never looked more forward to a week of the ring than this week. I never had this. I had an incredible weekend up at Iowa. I went to the Iowa Choir of the Fire. And I'm going to talk to you guys about that in just a moment. But this week is all of us just to reassess our minds, talk about the different character qualities of what it means to be living an honorable life. And on Saturday, August, the August interns will be making their commitment to pursuing a lifelong pursuit of honor and joining the line of alumni. And so we're going to be talking about some alumni this week, and tonight we're actually going to be Skyping in an alumni. So let's go ahead and bring up this alumni. Valerie, can you hear me? Valerie Goulson, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Oh, Valerie, we can hear you.
Mr. Stone.
Hey, so great to see you, Valerie. You look like you're still an intern. You look so young.
Well, thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Valerie, tell everybody when you're an intern.
I was a January intern in
2005.
Woo!
What year?
In 2005.
2005. So Valerie, I just want to ask you, what does it mean to you to be wearing the ring, to be part of the alumni of the Honor Academy? There it is right there. What does it mean? What does it mean to be part of the alumni of the Honor Academy?
To me, it means just being a part of a unique group of people who have given themselves to challenge and struggle and, you know, development, given themselves to a year of refinement, really, and persevered through the whole year, came out on the other side just with an iron will to live the rest of our lives radically for the Lord.
So. Talk to us about how is the alumni, the line, how have they encouraged you since you've left Team Mini now?
Oh my gosh, that's like one of the biggest things that I would have to say about after my time having left Team Mania is just the community of the line. And I mean, I could go on for hours the ways that my friends from the line have encouraged me, have rebuked me, specifically and individually, like towards myself, but then even just watching the way that they live their lives is such an example and is so refining and encouraging to hear about the things that everybody's doing, to keep in contact with them. There's just such a vulnerability within the line. If I ever meet someone that either currently is at the internship or is just an alumni, there's like an instant connection of vulnerability. I just feel like I can be real open with where I'm at, what's going on, you know, what I need, what I'm reaching for, and likewise be the same listening ear for whoever it is that I met up with. So it's awesome. I love the community of the line.
Well, the August interns, they're getting ready to make their commitment on Saturday. Can you just give, you have any words of wisdom, words of encouragement to them as they're going throughout this week of the ring and then for Saturday?
Yeah, I would say it's a commitment to Jesus. I mean, it is a commitment to the line. It is a commitment to the Honor Academy. But really, Jesus is the author and perfecter of my faith. And in me making this commitment to the line, ultimately, I was making a commitment to Jesus to live a life that is worthy of the calling that we've been given and to live a life that is radically pursuing my Maker and wanting to live that life out here on this earth and bring his kingdom to earth in everything that I do. So it's a commitment to the Honor Academy. It's a commitment to the line, to each other, to the ring, and to all that is. But ultimately, it's a commitment to Jesus, that he's the author and perfecter of our faith. So
that's right. Well, God bless you, Valerie. It's great talking to you. And
thanks for
all the years you poured into Teen Mania Ministries.
You're so welcome. God bless.
God
Have a good
bless
night.
You. She's awesome. She was incredible. She was an intern, then stayed as a core advisor, and she's a wonderful woman. So the line, here's what the line looks like. So last night, I'm driving back from Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. I arrived in Dallas-Fort Worth about 11:30 p.m. driving back about midnight. I get a call at midnight. This guy that was in the Honor Academy, he's like, hey, I'm just seeing, he's like, I just got kicked out of my apartment that I was staying in. And you guys said you'd always be there to help us. So do you know of anybody that I could move in this one area? And I said, yeah, let me give a couple people a call. So I called a couple alumnus of the Honor Academy, and this one guy is going to bring him in to help this guy get back on his feet for a couple weeks. There's an example, like, of the line. Another example, a guy was driving, he was getting ready to go up to New York City, and I got a hold of him, because you guys know of any alumni that live up in New York City? And I know three alumni that live up there, New York City, New Jersey area. So I contacted those people, and this guy's going to be staying with them there in the line. So the alumni, again, they're all over America, all over the world, and you all just get to join them. Here on Saturday. Okay, well, during this week, whenever the speaker up here says, we're going to go to the, you guys can open up the PowerPoint this time. Whenever the speaker here, keep going, we're going to go to the second slide. There you go, just hit the space bar. It'll keep going there to the second slide. Whenever the speaker says, I'll say the ring. Okay, I want you guys actually to see. I'll say the ring, and then you guys will say the line, the plan, always honorable. You guys are experts already. You all just remember this from back in the fall. So let's try it again. The ring.
The line, the plan, always honorable.
That's right. Well done. Okay, so the Iowa Acquire the Fire. The caller's back. Swan Support, you guys are back. So I just got a couple testimonies I want to share with you guys about that. I heard San Antonio went incredible too. God moved there. So at the Iowa ATF, I talked to a lot of youth pastors. And I just want you to hear what happened at the Iowa Choir of the Fire. So one youth pastor, this woman came up to me Saturday afternoon, and she said, we have 9 kids in our youth group, and they came to the event, and none of them are saved. None of them say born again, but every Thursday night we have a Bible study with this group, and for the last year we've been trying to introduce them to Jesus, and whenever we get the salvation message, the call, it's just like crickets. She said nobody ever talks, they won't respond, and she said, so we brought them here Friday, they went through the session Friday night, Saturday morning, and then Saturday afternoon, Joel Johnson did another altar call, and she said all 9 of them, they said yes. They said yes to Christ. They came up to the altar, and she's like, I don't know what to do now. I don't know what to do because we've been trying to get them saved. Now they're saved. So what do we do? And so I explained to her some things that she could do. I got her a book there at the merchandise table. So that happened. I had another guy come up to me. He's the pastor of Center Point Methodist Church somewhere there in Iowa. This guy's like 61 years old, and he came up to me, and he's like, what do you guys do to these interns? He's like, how do I hire one of these in my church? He said, I've been in church ministry 40 years, and I haven't met young people like these. He said, when they would call me on the phone, this guy starts crying as he's talking to me. When they would call me on the phone, I would hear the passion, the persuasion, and the love for my community, and they had more passion for my community than I did. So it's like, how do I hire these people? I just want you guys to understand what you guys are getting this year at the Honor Academy. You're getting more training than some youth pastors do. Some youth pastors, they have never even read a book about how to lead people. They have never read a worldview book. They haven't went through lots of classes. They have not learned the communication skills you guys have learned with conflict resolution because you have 5 or 6 people in a room, okay? And this guy was just amazed. He was amazed by the interns, and he was so glad to meet an older person because he said he saw these ministry teamers, and they're all 20, 21. He was wondering if there's anybody old that runs this ministry. And I say, oh, yeah, they're all back on the campus of Teen Mania, plus 300 or 400 other interns. And then another guy, he's walking through the hallway. He said, man, thanks for a great weekend. I said, how many years have you been coming to Acquire the Fire? He said, since 1995. I said, you've been coming for 16 straight years? He's like, yeah. I'm like, this guy looked older now. I said, are you a senior pastor now? He's like, yeah, when we first started coming in 95, I was a student pastor. He said, I was going to seminary, and I just saw a little brochure about Acquire the Fire. And this guy's from, there's a lot of Methodist churches in Iowa. At least I met a lot of Methodist pastors. So we brought our Methodist youth group, and it was so amazing, the worship, the teaching, that I based my whole church, our whole youth ministry, around Acquire the Fire. And he said it because that's where kids get saved. He said so many kids, they go to church every week, and they're not even expecting, anticipating things. He said, so this is our 16th year. And so he was talking to me, but as he's talking to me, I just heard him talking to each one of you, just saying thank you so much for what you guys do at Acquire the Fire. And the reason there is Acquire the Fire is look at your neighbor. This is why there's Acquire the Fire. It's all the interns that have decided to give their life, to invest their life to reaching their generation. It's because, you know, when he first started coming in 95, we had interns call in 96, 97, 98, 2000. So for the last 16 years, talked to another pastor. They've been coming since 99. And I said, why have you been coming for, you know, 11, 12 years? He said, oh, because of the life change that happens to my students. He said, nothing else changes my students the way that Acquire the Fire does. I said, well, but people say that it's just an event. He said, it's an event. He said, well, I have an event every Wednesday and Sunday. It's called church. But this event, this dramatically changes my teenagers. And he said, of course, we have some kids. They make commitments. They drop away. But this event just does wonders for our youth group. Talked to another youth pastor. It's been coming for 4 years. And he said, man, this Acquire the Fire is by far the best one we've ever had. And I said, why do you think it is? He said, I'm asking you, why do you think it is? And I said, well, we started this whole prayer initiative on our campus a couple months ago, and I believe it's just because we've been praying. I just believe it's the work of God, work of the Holy Spirit. So Sunday afternoon, we were with the youth pastors, and there was maybe 300-400 of them. And we were, Joel Johnson and I were talking to the youth pastors, and then we had them all, I spoke to him first. I spoke to him about being discouraged. I know some of you guys are discouraged. Some of you guys want to quit. Some of you guys have had pastors, elders say horrible things to you. You've wanted to give up. If you're wanting to give up, you know, some people are called to leave the youth pastor role, but if you're wanting to give up because of discouragement, stand to your feet. And there was a bunch of people that stood up. So we prayed over these people. And, you know, older people sometimes don't like to pray out loud. Depending on their church, too, they don't pray out loud. And so they were praying. I'm like, no, these people are getting ready to quit. You guys need to start praying for them and start encouraging them and then start speaking life over them. When you guys had a coach growing up, coaching sports, right? Did your coach ever speak life to you? Encourage you? Yes. Come on. You guys had people like that. Okay. Maybe I had the wrong coach. Okay. I had coaches confront me, rebuke me, challenge me, but then I didn't speak life to me. But I told them you got to start speaking over these people. So at the end of that session, a guy came up to me and he said, my resignation letter is in my office right now. I told my wife that this is the last event that we're doing because he said, I've had to go through so much stuff with our church and problems there that I was just done. And he said, man, through the prayers of the people that gather, he said, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep going. And I'm saying this all to you guys with what happened at the Iowa Acquire the Fire with youth pastors. So then we had the youth pastors start standing up, and we had them start praying the way Jesus spoke about in Luke chapter 11. He taught the disciples how to pray. Then he gave this example of a guy that comes in the door and starts knocking. He's like, hey, my friend, I need some bread. Guy's like, man, it's too late. Leave. The guy just kept knocking. He would not give up. How many of you guys know praying is not giving up? You got to keep knocking. You keep knocking. You keep knocking. Even though we get tired. Some of you guys are falling asleep during prayer. Fall asleep. You're like, what am I even doing anything? Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. So we started praying with the youth pastors. And we told them, you need to start speaking out the names of the students in your youth group that you feel have not had a breakthrough yet. So we prayed. It was awesome. Saturday night, I'm in the hallway. Youth pastor walks by. This lady, her name was Christy. She's like, thank you so much. We had a great weekend. I'm like, tell me what happened. She said, we brought 7 students to this Acquire the Fire, and 4 of them They put their faith in Christ on Friday, Saturday morning. But then we had three guys. These guys were tough, and they just weren't listening. They were kind of texting during a lot of the services. They were sitting down during worship. He said, but then during that youth pastor time, we were all praying. You guys were saying we need to start calling these people out. And we had not been praying for these people the way we needed to. So we started taking down strongholds, taking down, pretty much demonic things in their life, materialism. We started praying against those things. And she said, on Saturday night, during the worship time, Joel Jonathan poured out again. If you guys want to put your faith in Christ, he said, grab your cell phone. So these guys put up their cell phone. I looked down, and there was just tears. They were completely tuned into the Lord. We talked to them afterwards, and they said now they're actually wanting to start studying the Bible more and find out what this faith is all about. Yes! This is why we do Acquire the Fire. Okay, this is why we do Acquire the Fire. Now, these seven kids, they've been going to church for years. They've been going to church for years. And how many of you guys know people are in church right now that they've never been born again? Right? We don't know. Only God knows. But as a youth worker, you can tell if people have it or not. You can just look at, you see if they're alive, if they're not alive. And this lady, Christy, was just so excited because of what God did at Iowa Acquire the Fire. So when we watch those videos tomorrow, after chapel, we'll watch the San Antonio, Iowa one. As you guys watch that, remember all those people there, whether it was 500,000, 3,000, those are just all people's lives that got changed dramatically. And the school worship did a great job leading worship there at Iowa. All right, well, tonight we're going to talk about honor. And honor, Mr. Haas came up with this definition about a decade ago. And honor defined as this: honor is a total conglomeration of the inward character qualities necessary to reflect Jesus accurately and to lead effectively. You know, you can change other words there for honor. You know, some people say love, okay, to do the honor, the right thing, the honor thing, the right thing, the loving thing, the God thing. We're going to talk about several attributes of honor throughout this week. The attributes we're going to talk about is purity. What does it look like for a person of honor to walk in purity? We're going to talk about diligence. A diligent person, somebody that's focused. We're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about somebody that's a person of valor. Somebody that's courageous, bold, that gets out there, that rejects passivity. We're going to talk about perseverance. It takes perseverance to finish the Honor Academy. It does. It takes perseverance to finish college. Only 46% of people that start college finish it within 6 years. It takes a lot of perseverance to finish college. It takes perseverance to finish marriage. It takes perseverance to finish anything. Maturity. We're going to talk about maturity. What is a person of honor? How do they conduct themselves? Loyalty. Man, loyalty is one of my favorite attributes. Somebody that's loyal to a cause, loyal to a person, loyal to a mission. We're going to talk about friendship, how to live honorably when it comes to your friends. Again, Valerie was talking about her friends, you know, her friends, part of the line, have confronted her, rebuked her, encouraged her. We're going to talk about teachability. Teachability is an important concept of honor. Responsible. Are you guys responsible in your ministry placement? Would your core advisors say you're responsible? We're going to talk about that. Having a clear conscience. Okay, there's nothing like having a clear conscience where you're not having to worry about what happened in the past because you're doing the honorable thing. And then we're going to talk about integrity and humility. So those are a couple of the traits we're going to talk about throughout this week. Now, how does the world define honor? Again, the armed forces, people look at the armed forces, they look at their great uniform. Again, growing up from a very young age, I always wanted to be a Marine. And the reason I wanted to be a Marine is I wanted to wear the white gloves. I wanted to wear those white gloves. I wanted to have that shiny sword. And I wanted to be in the cool commercials. Okay? Those commercials, I wanted to be a Marine. My dad was in the military when he was a younger person. He never talked to me too much about the military. But the armed forces, people say that's an honorable person because they're in the military. Again, soldiers are esteemed to be honorable people because they fight for our country. Feet. You guys might need an accountability partner next to you. Seats. Presidents. Presidents. Are presidents known to be honorable people? Okay. JFK. President Reagan. George Washington. Abraham Lincoln. President Clinton. Okay. President Bush. President, his father. President Obama. Your governor. Think about in your guys' state growing up. Was your governor, the governors that led your state, were they considered honorable in their state? Did they have convictions? Did they follow those convictions? Did they do things that were dishonorable? Again, in all of the different facets here, there's certainly some honorability in each one of these positions. However, what does it mean in the world to be an honorable person? When most people think about being honorable, they don't think about the lifestyle and then the lifelong. Again, it's easy to be honorable for a moment, week, month. It's hard to walk being honorable for a lifetime. Now, as we're talking about all these traits, you probably feel the same way when you read the Bible sometimes. You're like, how can I do this? You ever felt that when you read the Bible? How in the world can I do this? The same way with the concepts we're going to talk about this week. There's no way to be honorable without the power, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Valerie was talking, she referenced Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Says Jesus is our author, and who's our perfecter? He is the one that's perfecting you. There's nobody perfect here. He is the one that's perfecting. That's why we continue to go back to the cross. So as we're talking about all these concepts, remember it is the Lord Jesus that empowers us and gives us what we need to live a godly life. At West Point, they teach their cadets leaders' character. And here's their honor code. A cadet will not lie, cheat, steal, or tolerate those who do. Is that a good statement of honor? Yeah, that's a good statement of honor, okay? Not lie, cheat, steal, or tolerate those who do. But is it a lifestyle of honor? Again, during that year or 4 years in the military, they commit to that, but are they committing to that for a lifelong pursuit? That they're going to commit to not lie, steal, or cheat, or tolerate those who do. To attempt honor apart from Jesus again is impossible. The world continues to try, but they fail because they don't come back to Christ for him to fill them up over and over again. The world has a concept of honor. Even terrorists have a concept of honor. We're going to watch a couple movie clips tonight. In this first movie clip, it's called Air Force One. And in this clip, it's a great president. Great president. Harrison Ford is always a great president. In this movie, Air Force One has been hijacked. Kind of at the end of the movie, the terrorists bring up Harrison Ford kind of to the cockpit. They put a gun up to his face, and they're trying to get him to call the terrorist leaders in prison. They're trying to get the president to call the country so that the terrorist leader will be released from prison. And in the scene, the terrorist is trying to get him to call, and at the same time, in the cockpit there is Harrison Ford's wife and child. And let's just see what Harrison Ford says to the terrorist.
Choice. You have the choice.
Leave her alone. This is between you and me.
You lose a child, it hollows you out.
We're soldiers. Take my life. you no honor.
I'll count to five.
No!
One.
All right.
Two.
I'll do it. I'll do it.
All right. You guys gonna turn that off? So the terrorist there is getting ready to kill Harrison Ford's daughter. He said, don't you have any honor? Again, we're a soldier. Harrison's like, you're a soldier, I'm a soldier. Deal with me as a soldier, but don't do that to my daughter. He was trying to play out there, asking the terrorist if he had any honor. There was an incident probably about 6 weeks ago. I was talking to a person, and they were bringing up some accusations against myself and the Honor Academy. And as they were bringing up these accusations, I called the individual, and I said, you know, what you said is untrue. I said, you know it's untrue. And the person said, well, I feel differently. I said, I understand you feel differently, but what you said was inaccurate. It's factually inaccurate. It's not the truth. The truth is the truth because it's the truth. That's why it's truth. And when it comes to honor, there are no shades. There are no shades of gray. It's either it's the truth or not the truth. And this person just kept going, it's fine you have feelings, but what is the truth about something? So let's talk about a couple of concepts here tonight. The first concept we're going to talk about is diligence. Diligence or hard work? Does your generation love hard work? Would you guys like if people told you, man, you're a diligent person. You are a hard worker. Okay? What about if somebody, do you guys like the word career? Actually, your generation doesn't like the word career. Okay? Because you want to have your options open. Previous generations, they love to have a career. There's a difference between a job and a career. A job pays minimum wage, and a career is what you pour your life into. It's because of what you're called to do. And when you guys have a great work ethic or you're diligent at something, you're going to have a lot more satisfaction in your life. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work unto God and not unto man. When you guys go to your ministry placement tomorrow, who are you working for? That's who you really are. Okay? When you guys go to a restaurant sometime this spring, and that waiter or waitress comes and gives you the wrong food, how are you going to treat them? Okay? So whatever you do, you work unto the Lord. Whenever somebody does you wrong, you treat them the way that you would treat Jesus. When I think about hard workers, I think about Amish. Okay, Amish people. I grew up in Michigan. I have a little Mennonite background. And Mennonites, when they have something happen in the community, when somebody needs help, they stop what they're doing and they just go help. They want to always help individuals compared to taking care of their own leisure time. So diligence, the condition of the mind, you dig deep and work. Those who slack in the darkness will be exposed under the bright lights of the ring. And diligence, again, most people, you can't see people that are not diligent when they're young, but you see it as they get a little bit older and older and older. That's why there's some people, they get in their 30s and 40s, they have so many regrets because they weren't diligent. I know some of you, August, been here 7 months now, some of you have some regrets of your first 7 months. Can I get a show of hands? You guys have some regrets? Okay. January, do you have any regrets yet? Okay, if not, they'll come. Throughout our life, we all have regrets. I have regrets in my life. And I think it goes back to it's because we're not diligent about things. We know we should be doing something, but something else comes up. Proverbs 10, verse 5 says, a wise youth works hard all summer. And that's the mission statement for Global Expeditions in the summer. A wise youth works hard all summer. A youth who sleeps away the hour of opportunity brings shame, brings regret when you sleep all the time. At the end of my intern year, I was a January. The August class, when they were graduating during their debriefing week, I remember the one guy coming up to me, And this guy was in the apartment next to me, and he came up to me, and he was crying, and he said, I've wasted my year. And here's why he said it. He was known during our year to sleep, take just naps constantly during the entire year, sleep in whenever he could, but he's always known for sleeping during the year. And he was crying. He's like, don't waste your next 4 months. And that was the legacy he left for me. And when he told that to me, it just woke me up again during my intern year, because he had a lot of regret during his year. Proverbs 12, verse 24, work hard and become a leader. Be lazy and become a slave. How many of you guys want to be leaders? Leaders is influencers. That's all it is. When you're a leader, it means you're a helper of people. That's all that means. You just help lots more people. It's not about power, control. You're there to help. If you're lazy, you'll become a slave, which means you'll always do what other people want to do because you haven't learned diligence. Proverbs 20, verse 13. If you love sleep, you will end in poverty. Now, how many of you guys love sleep? Of course we enjoy sleep. Okay, we enjoy sleep. These are people that are consumed with sleep. I think this also could be applicable if you're consumed with the internet, if you're consumed with news. You guys aren't able to watch news on TV, but you can watch it. You can watch it on the internet. Man, news can consume people. They can read every news magazine, every website. They can constantly read it all. If all you do is that, you might end in poverty. Keep your eyes open, and there'll be plenty to eat. Proverbs 21, verse 5. Are you hungry? Okay. Proverbs 21, verse 5. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. Now, all of us in here should want to be prosperous. We want the Abraham blessing. Genesis 12, verse 3. We're blessed so that we can be a blessing. How many of you guys know poor people can't give money, lots of money, to people around the world? You give a little bit of money. The reason you want to be prosperous so that you can give money. The reason you want good health so you're able to talk to people, help other people. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. You guys ever wonder, man, why in the Quarry of the Fire Global Expedition, why do we have to do so many calls? Why do we have to do this? Because there's a plan that's been put in place. And this plan has been put in place so that prosperity will come. Prosperity is life's being changed at the ATF. Proverbs 13, verse 4, those who work hard will prosper and be satisfied. Be satisfied. My wife tonight told me to tell you ladies, you need to marry a hard worker, okay? You need to marry a hard worker, ladies. The reason you need to marry a hard worker, if you marry a hard worker, a guy that works hard, okay, you'll have a lot more satisfaction in your life. Because you'll have a guy that's working so that he can make money. Okay? Of course, you'll have jobs too, but it's great when both people are hard workers, the guy and the gal. I'm thinking about taking my youth group next month to Six Flags. You know, Six Flags is an amusement park. How many of you guys like amusement? Okay? Now, the word muse means think. Ment means anti, okay? Amusement means anti-thinking. So there's a time for amusement. There's a time to go have fun. You don't want to have a life of amusement. Man, I just want to chill. I just want to hang out. There's a time for that. Then there's a time to work hard. There's a time to get after it and go after it. Man, the ministry team, they work hard. Okay, the ministry team works hard. They have some fun times. They have play times. But then there's a time to work hard. Man, the school worship band up here, okay, they've been working hard in their lessons. They've been working hard when we don't see it. We're able to receive the gifts of what they've done in their private times. If you guys don't have a work ethic, what can you do? You can repent of that. If you're lazy, you can repent of being lazy. Okay? In fact, let's actually do that right now. Let's go to we're going to pray right now. Some of you guys, man, I work unto the Lord. You don't need to repent. Everything that we talk about this week, some of it's going to minister to you and some of it won't. You don't have to respond to everything. But something that you know you need to, let's deal with it with God right now. Let's go and pray. Father, I just ask you, your precious Holy Spirit, the ones that counsels us into all truth, Lord, that you would just counsel these young men and young women. And if there's anybody in this room right now that you guys have been lazy, your work ethic and your ministry placement has just not been the way you know it should be. You haven't been doing it with excellence unto God. Just right now, just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, show me how to be a better worker unto you, Lord. God, that you have given each one of this room 70, 80 years. And Lord, we want these years, God, to be poured out to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, there's a time to play. There's a time to have fun. There's a time to be refreshed. And I thank God for all those refreshing times. But Lord, there's a time that we're supposed to work hard and work unto you. Lord, help us to be diligent people. Lord, it wouldn't even be possible, God, that people would be able to look at us and to say, man, you must really understand the grace of God because you're using your life poured out to him. Lord, that people might be able to say that you're a diligent person. So Lord, help us to work hard. Help us not to love sleep, Lord, but to enjoy it when we have it. Lord, to be rested. All of us are supposed to have our bodies rested, but Lord, it's the extra time, whether it's sleep or the internet or whatever it might be. In Jesus' name, amen. Work ethic. You guys know you can repent just like that. You can decide to become a good worker tomorrow. Did you guys know your managers during your workplace, they sometimes might go to your Facebook and just see if you ever update your Facebook during work? Okay? Do you guys know you shouldn't update your Facebook during work? Is that a rule? Is that a law? Is that legalism? No. During my work hours, I want to be a hard worker. It has nothing to do about rules. Don't worry about rules. It's I want to learn to be a hard worker. Again, growing up, I was trained to be a bad worker because of video games and massive amount of TV. I was trained to people that watch TV for like over 3 hours have the same brain waves as somebody in a coma. Okay? It's kind of like the same way. So we just need to pray and repent of that. All right, second one we're talking about here is integrity. Integrity. Let's turn over to Psalms, book of Psalm chapter 15, Psalm 15, ladies kind of have a Proverbs 31 chapter. Sometimes people say Psalm 15 is kind of like the man chapter, as far as what guys should go after. Of course, ladies, you're going after this chapter too, but us guys, we don't have a chapter named after us, like you ladies. Psalms 15. Verses 1 through 4. It says, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness, speaks truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. But he honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does these things shall never be moved. He swears to their own hurt. We had a staff member in the Honor Academy back in the 1990s. I think I've shared this story with you guys before. Just before he went to the military. Before the military, he got caught up in the drug world, big into partying. They got saved during his college years, but he was part of the ROTC. And the ROTC, as long as he's part of that, they were going to pay for his college. Well, he got saved like his junior year. At the end of his senior year, getting ready to graduate, he went for a panel, and the panel asked him, have you done any drugs? And he'd gotten saved. He stopped the drugs, but when they asked him, have you done any drugs, they met during the 4 years of college. And he's a Christian, so he had to tell the truth. He's like, yes, I've done drugs. Because he told him the truth, he had to pay for all of his college. He had to pay $40,000, $50,000 of college debt. Would you guys tell the truth? This guy, he never told the interns when he was a staff member. He just told us staff one of his personal experiences of his before Christ and then after Christ, and that he had to swear to his own hurt. It cost him $40,000, $50,000. But again, he had to tell the truth because he was a Christian. This next video clip is from a great movie. named Les Mis. And in this movie, Les Mis, great character name, Jean Valjean. Jean Valjean. In this movie, for those of you guys who know the story of Les Mis, Jean Valjean did some bad stuff, really bad stuff. It's a great book. I'd read the book in high school. Anybody else have to read that book? Did some bad stuff. It's a great book. You've never read it. Did some bad stuff. But then he gets promoted. He gets some prosperity in his life. He gets some influence. And in this clip, there's a guy that's being put on trial for the bad stuff that Jean Valjean had done. And this guy, if he gets convicted, he's going to go to prison. So Jean Valjean, he is in the courtroom and hearing this guy getting accused of doing all these horrible things, and Jean Valjean is there listening to it. Would you guys tell the truth? Let's see what happened.
Jean Valjean, we served 19 years together in prison. He looks older, of course. Looks stupider, too. That's probably age.
Monsieur le Président, may I call the convict?
You may step down.
Lombard, to the stand.
The accused should remain standing.
I repeat my warning, a man's life can be destroyed by your answer. Do you recognize the accused?
I can't help but recognize him. We did 5 years on one chain.
What's the matter with you, eh? No, hello? Hey? Did you miss me, eh?
Hello? I call Bertin to the stand. I warn you as well. Your answer can ruin a man. Do you recognize the accused?
Yeah. He's Jean Valjean.
Monsieur le Président, may I address the court?
Yes, certainly, Monsieur the Mayor.
Brevet, Lombard, Bertin, look at me. You recognize me?
I recognize you, Brevet. You were an informer in Toulon. I see you're still a snitch.
And you, Lombard, don't look at my fancy clothes. Don't look at my scraped chin. Look at my eyes. You call yourself godless, right? You've got a scar on your left shoulder. I gave it to you the night you tried to kill me, remember? When I pinned you over the stove? It is you. Show the court your scar. Bertin, the hollow of your left arm. There's a date tattooed, 1789, the year of the revolution. Show them! I know these men, Monsieur le Président, and they know me. I am the man you want. I am Jean Valjean.
It's great, great scene. As somebody that stands up, tells the truth, even though there's consequences. The university I went to, every week, we had to exercise 4 times a week. We were required to exercise 4 times a week, and every week we had to turn in a form, kind of like your guys' accountability card. We had to turn in it was called aerobic points. Turn in our aerobic points every single week, and we got points for how much we exercised, how much we ran, if we played sports, you know, basketball, volleyball. So every week you turn them in, your grade in the athletic class, about 50% of it was based off these aerobic points. And I remember people just joking, laughing, mocking the aerobic point system. And they would just lie every week on their aerobic points. They would just make up, saying they had exercised 4 times a week, they had done this for 20 minutes, hour, because they thought it was stupid to do it. Now, 15 years later, I just wonder what these people are doing when it comes to their taxes each year. I wonder what they're doing with their being an employee to their boss. We have an accountability card here at Team Mania, amen? Okay. Have you guys been walking in integrity with your accountability cards? Nobody knows except you. You guys realize that? Most things you do in life, nobody will know except you. But do you guys walk in truth with the accountability card? Do you walk in integrity? Proverbs 11, verse 1 says, "The Lord hates cheating, but he delights in honesty." Doesn't like cheating. Again, my kids are just starting to grow out of the stage of being fear when they do something wrong. But my daughter Savannah, she's 5, and when she does something wrong still, we just ask her about it. When we ask her about it, she covers her face and just goes like this with her feet. She is so embarrassed when she lies about something, when she tries to cover something up. Of course, Adam and Eve, we know the story, that when they had sinned, they went and hid. Can you guys try to imagine? Can you guys imagine hiding from God? Like, they hid from God. We still try to hide when we do the wrong thing. Proverbs 11, verse 5 says, "The godly are directed by their honesty." They're directed by their honesty. Proverbs 11, verse 20, "The Lord hates people with twisted hearts, but he delights in those who have integrity." Again, whenever you sin, whenever you're, you know, not truthful, it always hurts yourself. Proverbs 24, 26, "An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips." Right? Honesty is just soothing. Honesty just feels right. It seems like the right thing to do, to tell the truth. You know, in my office, Mr. Clay kind of oversees this now, but over the last 10 years, I've had lots of people come through my office and, you know, confess about different things. And we never know if they're telling the truth or not, or people that, you know, people said this person did this, bring them in, they don't tell the truth, maybe they do tell the truth. This last month, I had a guy, an alumni from about 4 years ago, maybe it was 5 years ago, I'm not sure. He came through, wanted to meet with me. And during his intern year, something happened, and I talked to him about it, and he told me it didn't happen. He said, no, that didn't happen. So I asked him a few more questions. He said, nope, it didn't happen. I said, okay. Well, it involved another person. And this guy told me, he said, about 18 months ago, I'm walking through the airport, and I saw this person. And the person just told me, "I forgive you." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I forgive you for what you did." He said, "Well, I didn't do it." He said, "It's okay, I still forgive you." And he said, for the last 18 months, it's just been hitting me. It will not leave me. So he's sitting across the table from me, and he couldn't even look me in the eye. He was looking out the window, and he said, "Remember when you asked me if I did this?" He said, "I told you I didn't." He said, "I was lying." He said, "I did it. I did it." And I said, "Look me in the eye. Okay, look me in the eye. Again, this is why there's a cross. This is why we have Jesus, for the forgiveness of our sins." And this is what honesty looks like for those of you guys. I know there are people here in the Honor Academy that you guys have done things you haven't told people about. Okay? If you guys have done things, go and tell people. The HA staff here, we are here to help you guys. You guys realize that's why the Honor Academy staff work here? We don't work here for a high-paying career. You know, Mr. Derek Clay, he gave up a great job in Virginia to come down here and work with you guys. He was a... Again, in the world, man, great job, great benefits, great pay, and it came down here to work with you guys. People don't come here because, oh, it's a great move in your career. Looks good in your resume. We're here to help you guys. So if there's anything in you guys' hearts that you've lied about, you guys can come forward with it, or you can repent of it. Maybe it's just little small things, little things that you've done. Repent of those. Move on. Anything bigger, though, anything that's the honor code, you guys come forward about that. Integrity is calling it like you see it with tact. but not backing down or equivocating to protect yourself or others. About 3 months into my intern year, about 2 months of my intern year, we're at our fasting LT, and we had our fasting LT in this campground in Oklahoma, and we were told not to eat until the next morning. That was one of the rules of the fast. We didn't have the communion the way we have it now. We were told not to eat till breakfast. Well, we're driving back from the campground, and I'm a January intern. There's like six people in the van. And I remember on the way back, somebody said, "Let's stop at Sonic and eat. I am so hungry." Someone's like, "Me too. I want a cheese coney. Let's stop." And it was like momentum. We got to stop and eat. And I had just arrived as an intern, and I'm like, I thought we were supposed to wait till tomorrow. And like, no, we're going to eat. I don't remember the whole conversation. All I remember is pulling up to Sonic and people ordering food. Now, what should I have done? I should have been more forceful. I should have spoken up, but I was afraid. Some of you guys are afraid sometimes because there's influential people in your life that say something, and you're like, I don't want to come across judgmental. I don't want to come across as holy roller being this or that. I don't want to. What if you guys just spoke the truth in love, as the book of Ephesians talks about? You do it with tact, but you speak the truth in love. I didn't do it that year, and that's one of my regrets during my intern year. Integrity demands that you take responsibilities for your actions. If you've done the wrong thing, you've been called on it, you take it. At West Point's, cadets are allowed 4 responses. August might remember these 4. You're allowed to say, "Yes, sir." "No, sir." "No excuse, sir." "Sir, I don't understand." "Sir." "No excuse, sir," is an early critical lesson. Take responsibilities for your actions. Have you guys ever dropped responsibilities so far this year in the HA? I have already, okay? I have since January. I've been told to do things by Mr. Haas, Mr. Luce. And when I'm told to do things, oftentimes I delegate it. I give somebody else to do it, work on it, then report back on it. And for whatever reason, maybe it doesn't get done. And when Mr. Haas asked me, "Hey, what about this? Where are we at with this?" It's easy to say, "Oh, yeah, this person didn't get it done. This person..." Instead, the proper answer is, "There's no excuse, sir. I need to work harder to get this done. And if I need to be disciplined, discipline me." But if you guys can learn not to give excuses for things, you will stand out in the crowd. If you'll take ownership for it, and then you'll take the discipline. If you're willing to take the discipline, you'll stand out there in the crowd. A leader of integrity can be trusted to tell the truth and never lie. A lie is the intent to deceive, as defined by tenet number 4 in the Honor Academy. Oh, you guys know more than I do. You guys are correct. It is tenet number 1. I think we moved the tenets around. This final video clip we're going to look at is from a movie called Clear and Present Danger. In this movie, Harrison Ford, another great movie of his. In this movie, he has found out, it's a long story, but he's found out some things about the President of the United States. Okay, he's not the President. He's found out some things about the President. The President was part of a secret operation. Well, the President is trying to pretend like he knew nothing about the secret operation. And Harrison Ford is going to meet with the President and confront the President, pretty much telling him, you were aware of this operation, and I'm going to let other people know about it. Can you imagine meeting with President Barack Obama? You find out something about him, and you're going to talk to him about it. But look at the way Harrison Ford, look at his demeanor. Look at the way that he carries himself with the President. He doesn't come across, at the very beginning, angry, upset, judgmental. He just talks to him as a friend. Because when you confront somebody, you do it out of love and care and concern. Let's look at this clip. VHS.
glad you're here. Shinan, can I get you anything?
No.
Come on, sit down.
I would prefer to stand, sir.
Some things have gone on here that I'm just becoming aware of. I was kept in the dark, as you were, for a very long time. Troubling things.
Yeah.
And now we have to sort them out. We have to figure out who was responsible for what, and what to do about it. And we have to do this very delicately, otherwise people might get the wrong idea.
We have to lie.
Did I say that?
No, you didn't.
You're upset.
I'm upset.
Well, it's understandable. You mind if I give you a bit of advice? Of course, you know this because you're a smart guy. You should never make important decisions while you're upset.
You did. And American soldiers and innocent civilians are dead because of it.
I never ordered any...
No, don't even think about playing that game with me. I will not let you dishonor their memories by pretending you had nothing to do with it.
How dare you come in here and lecture me?
How dare you, sir?
How dare you come into this office and bark at me like some little junkyard dog? I am the President of the United States.
It gives me no pleasure to do it, sir. Acting Deputy Director of Intelligence, it is my duty to report this matter to the Senate Oversight Committee.
You're not going to do that?
I'm not.
No, no. You've got yourself a chip in the big game now. You're going to tuck that away. You are going to save that for a time when your own ass is on the line. And then you're going to pull it out. And I'm going to cash it in for you. Right?
I don't think I have anything more to say to you, sir.
The country can't afford another scandal, Jack. To protect itself, it won't allow the possibility of another deception that goes all the way to the top. You'll take the blame. Cutter and Ritter will take some too, but it won't amount to much. They'll get a slap on the wrist. And then $20,000 an hour on the lecture circuit. The rest of the blame will fall on Greer. Oh, yeah, you'll take him down with you. You'll destroy his reputation. But that's as far as it'll go. The old Potomac two-step.
I'm sorry, Mr. President. I don't dance.
So when it comes to integrity, do you guys have this kind of attitude in your life where in your own life you don't allow deception? And then you have other people in your life that you allow to speak into your life if there's any glimmers of deception. Has there been any untruth in your guys' life this year in the HA? Things that you're just keeping quiet. You know, Mark Twain, he said, people that tell the truth never have to remember the past. Tell the truth, you don't ever have to remember the past. People that don't tell the truth, you got to keep remember what you said before because you don't want to change it. Have you guys had challenges with that? So tonight we're not gonna have a ministry time altar call up here in front, but what we are gonna do is just pause for a moment here and just ask the Holy Spirit, is there anything in our life right now that we need Him to deal with? So let's just pray.